felt the Lord lay this on my heart. Praise God. And there are some messages the Lord lays upon a preacher's heart. Sometimes you just don't feel like preaching that message. Lord, I don't want to preach that, but you know, Jeremiah preached messages that he didn't want to preach. But today's not one of those days. I really want to preach this message. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. God is good to us. And I feel like the Lord wants to be good to you. Amen. And there's a formula for that, and that is, submit yourself, therefore, to God. You can't even resist the devil till you do that. Amen. And giving yourself to the Lord. Making certain that the Lord is at the forefront. We sang a lot of songs today regarding You Are My Everything. Amen. I really, really feel that we need to have that somewhere as part of us deep down in our hearts. God, You're my everything. Amen. Praise the Lord. If you turn with me in your Bibles to Matthew 17, we're going to be moving around a little bit today, Old Testament, New Testament, and praise God. Before I get to my text, I was just thinking about something. I'll probably preach on this sometime, but I wanted to share it. And, you know, God used Moses just a few times to do some miraculous things. Primarily, he used Aaron and Aaron's rod. And Joshua didn't really do anything that was miraculous. And I just got thinking about this, that you know what? I can only think of two prophets of the Old Testament. Two. That performed miracles. Elisha and Elijah. Habakkuk didn't. Hosea didn't. None of those guys did. And you know how God dealt with people and God helped people during all of those many years is just through the preaching of the word. The prophet got up and he spoke. Amen. He still uses that today. Praise the Lord. Amen. And not because of any talent of the preacher. As a matter of fact, Paul said, I didn't come with enticing words of man's wisdom, but I came in the power and demonstration. Now, Paul was an erudite man. He was very bright and educated, but he did not come using Greek rhetoric. He came preaching under the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Amen. And I want to preach today and help us today. Amen. Matthew 17, starting with verse number 14. And when they were come to the multitude, there came unto him a certain man, kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic. Now, what father hasn't really thought that about his son at one time or another? I'm just kidding. Just kidding. Praise God. There certainly is an element of truth to that. Praise God. Hallelujah. So, forgive me. Forgive me. This is supposed to be serious. Amen. Lord, help me get my composure again, Jesus. Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic and sore vexed. For oft times he falleth into the fire and oft into the water. And I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? In other words, how long am I going to put up with you? bring him hither to me. And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him. And the child was cured from that very hour. I want to go again to verse number 16. He said, this desperate man who fell down at Jesus' feet upon his knees said, I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him. Verse number 18, and Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Verse 16, and they could not cure him. Verse 18, and the child was cured from that very hour. Amen. Amen. I want to preach with the Lord's help on this subject. Let the Lord have a turn. Let the Lord have a turn. Let's pray together, can we? Amen. Precious Savior, Lord Jesus, I'm asking you, Lord God, in this place, God, to, Lord Jesus, take these human lips, God, this, Lord, human being, God, so weak, so unable, Lord Jesus, and would you, God, bring your anointing, Lord, and place it upon me, God, as the preacher of the gospel, Lord Jesus, hallelujah, that I might be a conduit, God, to use your method, God, to preach the word, Lord Jesus, to these good people. I ask, Lord God, hallelujah, that the word of God would be rich to our hearts today, God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, let it help us today. Mighty God, let it help us today, God, in the precious name of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Let's worship the Lord together. Amen. God, we love you, we praise you. Lord, we magnify you, Holy Savior. Oh, I worship and adore you. I exalt you, Jesus. Amen, amen, amen. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Let the Lord have his turn. Amen. This story that we read in the scripture is really indicative, I believe, of the kinds of struggles that we as human beings often face in our lives. Now, we may not have had this particular situation as this man did, but it is indicative of the kinds of struggles, human struggles, heartaches, things that we try to handle, and we try to handle in our, to the best of our ability and with our human ingenuity. And God gave us the ability to reason and the ability to think. And I believe that he wants us to think some things out and help ourselves, if you will. And, but at the same time, all of us, sometime or another, come to the end of our rope. All of us, one time or another, come to the place where we begin to realize that, you know what? I just don't have the goods. I don't have the ability. I can't figure this out. I'm not bright enough. I'm not rich enough. I'm not strong enough. I don't have the answers. And praise God. Let me tell you something. When you come to the place where you really, really begin to realize that you don't have the answers, that's a very good place to be if you know that the next thing you need to do is really let the Lord have his turn. Praise God. Hallelujah. And so each of us have got struggles. We have our share and seasons of happy and good times. And I thank God for those. Even sinners have their share of good times, happy times, and things that put smiles upon their faces. Life brings each of us each of us our own share of happy times, and many times it also brings us our share, and sometimes even more than our share, of struggles and discouragements and setbacks and pain and uncertainty and confusion and sorrow and wondering and trying to figure out, God, why Am I in the position that I'm in right now? And it may be a position that you've been in for a week. It might be a position that you've been in for a year. It might be a position you've been in for 13 months. It might be a position that you've been in for several years. And we can find ourselves without answers. And whether it's something that we've lived with for years or something that suddenly enters into our lives after we do all that we can do, after human ingenuity and money and energy and strength and effort has been spent and wasted on mending the hurt or fixing the problem, remember, you do need to let the Lord have a turn. Praise God. I wish that somehow that you and I could figure out how to just let God have his turn at the beginning of all that. Praise God. But sometimes it just seems like we are pig-headed, thick-headed, brains full of mush. I don't know what it is. It's amazing. We live, the Bible talks about our world. It says, you know, in the last days, they'll be ever learning, but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Ever learning. We can do all kinds of things. Put men on the moon. We did that years ago before many folks here were even born. There are things that we could do. There's things on my cell phone. I have no idea how they make it do the things that they could do. Somebody could take a picture and just seconds later, I could have the picture that I'm looking at right in front of me and they took it 3,000 or 8,000 or 12,000 miles away. And we've got all kinds of things. And I learned something because of the speed of light and electricity and satellites and all of these things going on and how it all works. We can send information all the way around the entire world in about an eighth of a second. That's really fast, but sometimes it takes years for that same little bit of information to go that last eighth inch. You know what I mean? We just can't get it through. And somehow I wish that we would understand and we would learn that, you know what, we try to do this and we try to do that and we try to figure out our struggles and figure out our problems and we try to, you know, somebody said to put a little oomph in your try and you'll triumph. And so I'm just going to put a little oomph behind it. And still we fall flat on our face. And it seems like nothing seems to work. Remember that you just really need to give the Lord a turn. Praise God. Hallelujah. And when you faced a foe that you cannot defeat, let Jesus fight for you. Praise the Lord. Amen. When you've been in a battle with an enemy and you're just too tired to fight on. Amen. You're just too tired to swing that sword any longer. You're too tired to just continue on. Would you like tag team wrestling? Just let him do it. Because he cares for us, it says, casting all of your care on him, for he careth for you. Sometimes I wonder if we just believe the word of God, but faith is believing the word of God. And I want to help us here. I really do. I don't want to just preach a message. I want to minister to somebody. But there are many times that we just think that we're broken and we don't really have the God maybe really doesn't love me like the way he loves somebody else. And God doesn't really take care and concern over my situation, and we convince ourselves that it's very evident that God doesn't even know your mailbox number. Amen. God doesn't even know where you are. I'm here to tell you in the Holy Ghost that not even a sparrow falls to the ground except God sees it. Amen. And the very hairs of your head are numbered, and you're of more value than many sparrows. And all of those things that Jesus said, he said that I love you. How much did he loved you. He loved you to spread out his arms on a cross and die. Amen. He loved you enough to shed his blood for you. I'm here to tell you that he does care. Amen. And the devil is a liar. And you might think that you're broken and it just doesn't work for you. It'll work for everybody that tries. Amen. When you let the Lord have a turn. Praise God. Bible says, casting all your care on him, for he cares for you. He does care for you. But you know how some of us cast our cares upon him? You use a fishing pole and a strong test line, and you cast it out, and you reel it back. What do you do that for? When it speaks of casting your cares, it means like just taking them and just casting them on him. And I want to do that. I want to, God, I know that I don't have the ability. I don't have the ingenuity. I might be smarter than some, but I'm dumber than others. Amen. And I can't figure it out, God. And I've tried, and I have learned, praise God. And I'll probably have to learn it again because I'm a little slow sometimes. I really am. I'm being very honest and open with you that there are times that you begin to feel self-sufficient. You feel like that you're able to do something. And so you begin to get some self-confidence. But Paul said, we are the circumcision which worship God in the spirit and have no confidence in the flesh. And the Apostle Paul was a man, and none of this is in my notes, none of it right now, but I just want to minister to us. Amen. But the Apostle Paul, he, you know, if there's somebody that had a pedigree and had ability and had smarts and had money and had, wealth, he really did. He had a lot of things. He had a name. He gave it up to serve Jesus Christ. And he said, I don't rely on those things. All of my pedigree and all of my degree and all of the stuff that I had, I counted them but dung, just refuse, worse than refuse. I didn't even want to be known by that. I believe that's why Paul began to be called, Saul began to be called Paul's, because he wanted to disassociate himself with his aristocratic name, and he wanted to take on a name that just meant small. I'm just small. I'm nothing significant whatsoever. And when you're facing that enemy, amen, you just need to let Jesus take it. Praise God, when you're too tired to fight anymore. When Zerubbabel was facing formidable odds, and there he was preaching to those in and around Jerusalem who had come back. They were still really captive, but they were in their own land, and they had come back and begun to build the temple. And it seemed like there were insurmountable odds against him. The Lord spoke to him and said that it's not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Amen. Hallelujah. And there's something about understanding that Jesus Christ, hallelujah, will come in. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Bible says the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. Praise God. Hallelujah. When the enemy comes in and it seems overwhelming, it seems like you're going down, seems like there's no way, I want you to know that if you will just keep on holding to God's unchanging hand, praise God, he'll lift you out. Praise God. Yes, he will. He will lift you out if you will serve God, if you'll love God. Amen. When his righteous call upon his name, I want you to know that he comes swooping down. He comes, amen, with great desire, hallelujah, to make a change, to do something, amen, to intervene in your situation. Praise the Lord. And I was just thinking of a psalm as I'm preaching here, and I'm going to try to go to it. But I want us to know that the Lord really does, amen, come to the aid of his people. Many, the Bible says, are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. Amen. And I think about I think about the psalmist David. Amen. Hallelujah. The day that the Lord delivered him from the hand of all of his enemies, even from the hand of Saul. The scripture says in Psalm 18, I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust. He's my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. Bible says, amen, the name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous run into it and is safe. Amen. And David understood what the Lord was. He said, I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised, and so shall I be saved from mine enemies. Amen. It's really when you begin to call upon God, that's how you'll be saved. When you begin to call upon Him, that's when He's going to come down. And He relays a little bit about His situation, starting in Psalm 18 and verse 4. He says, the sorrows of death compassed me. The floods of ungodly men made me afraid. The sorrows of hell compassed me about. The snares of death prevented me. In other words, I was so afraid of death, I couldn't even move. I couldn't even fight. I couldn't even do anything. I was fearful because of the specter of death that was around me. The king was after me. He sought me. He tossed a javelin at me. He had troops looking for me. Amen. And he was sore discouraged. He said that it prevented me. The snares of death prevented me. I couldn't even move. I was boxed in. And he says this in verse number 6, in my distress, I called upon the Lord. Amen. You know, David had done all kinds of things. He had gone into a little cave and Saul ended up coming in, and he knew he couldn't touch the Lord's anointed. And so just to show that he meant well by the king. Amen. While Saul was asleep, he came and cut off the hem of his garment and then went away. And then later he called to him and let him know, see what I could have done. And I didn't do that. I really do respect the Lord's anointing upon you. And there's no way that I would ever touch you. But still he ended up coming after David. Still he ended up coming on David. Tried all kinds of things. But he said, in my distress, I called on the Lord and I cried unto God, and he heard my voice. Bible tells us that if we have faith, amen, that he hears us. Amen. If we have faith that he hears us, then we know that we shall have our petition of him. Praise God. Amen. And David, he said, I cried in my distress unto God, and he heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry came before him, even unto his ears. Well, what happened, David, when God heard your cry? You're down there in a cave. You're down there running for your life. You're in distress, and it seems like there's, you know, everything. Things against you. And so you prayed. You cried unto God. You lifted up your voice. It wasn't just a gentle plea, but you, in distress, cried unto him. And he heard your voice. Well, what happened? He said, then, the earth gave himself to God. He presented himself to God. And when David prayed and everything was coming against him and he cried unto God, then the Lord moved. Then fire and smoke came out of his nostrils. Coals were kindled by it. And then he said he bowed the heavens and he came down. In darkness, the darkness that threatened to swallow me was under his feet. The very thing that he was, that I was concerned about, he's walking on. Praise God. Praise God. You know, when Peter, amen, called unto God, unto Jesus Christ, amen, God in flesh, there he saw him. He said, if that's you walking on the water, amen, we were afraid that this water was going to swallow us up. Amen. The boat was rocking and reeling, and they were really, even though they were seasoned fishermen, they were afraid. He said, if that's you, Jesus, bid me to come. Amen. Hallelujah. You see, Jesus was walking on their trouble. Amen. Hallelujah. He said he'll give you power to tread on serpents. Amen. Any serpent. Amen. Any, that old serpent, Satan, he can try to rear his ugly head. Amen. He's given you power to step on that. He's given you power to stomp on that. Amen. He's given you power to tread on your troubles. Just like Peter walking on the water. But he came when David called. Hallelujah. And bowed the heavens. Darkness was under his feet. And he rode upon a cherub and did fly. Yea, he did fly upon the wings of the wind. And he made darkness his secret place. His pavilion round about him were dark waters and thick clouds of the skies. And his brightness that was before him, his thick clouds passed. And hailstones and coals of fire. And the Lord also thundered in the heavens, and the highest gave his voice, hailstones and coals of fire. And he sent out his arrows and scattered them. And he shot out lightnings and discomfited them. And the channels of the waters were seen. And the foundations of the world were discovered at thy rebuke, O Lord, at the blast of the breath of thy nostrils. He sent from above, and he took me and drew me out of many waters. He delivered me from my strong enemy, from them which hated me, which were too strong for me. They prevented me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my stay. He brought me forth also unto a large place and delivered me. Listen to this. Because he delighted in me. He was pleased with me. I was one that was offering up a more excellent sacrifice. I was one that was giving myself to God. I was one that had bowed my knees before him. He was my king. He was my Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. I pleased him. I walked with him. Amen. And when everything coming against me was just too much. Amen. They were too strong for me. God, when I cried with my voice, he came down. Amen. He walked on my trouble and he lifted me up out of the water. Amen. Out of the trouble, out of the darkness, and place me in a large, comfortable place. Amen. Let's worship the Lord for a moment, can we? Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. I'm here to tell you, you just need to let the Lord have a turn. Amen. You just need to let the Lord have a turn. You just need to let the Lord, amen, Jesus Christ, hallelujah, 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 have a turn in your life. You need to cast your cares, yes you do, upon him. For he careth for you, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I could go on. This whole psalm is so full of the purity of what God would like to do. Amen. For those that truly love him. Amen. And it seems like everything is just going bad. Amen. You could just let Jesus come in and take it from here. I'm telling you, you can. Praise the Lord. In 1 Kings chapter number 18. Amen. Elijah was there. And he said, you know, how long are you going to halt yourself between two opinions? If the Lord, if Jehovah be God, then follow him. But if Baal be God, follow him. Why are you vacillating back and forth? Why are you trying to serve God and serve the world? Why are you trying to serve God and serve the things of this world? Why? Jesus said you can't even do that. You can't. I didn't say that. Jesus said it. But Elijah, he was a man that served God with his whole heart. But these that were vacillating, he called Israel, how long are you going to halt between two opinions? How long are you going to play church? How long is it that you're going to just try to get the best of both worlds? Hello. Can't be done. Can't be done. Praise God. And when he asked that, what they said was much like what you're saying right now. The Bible says they answered him not a word. Praise God. They didn't have anything to say. Nothing to say. And Elijah said unto the people, I only remain a prophet of the Lord. But Baal's prophets are 450 men. Let them therefore give us 2 bullocks. And let them choose 1 bullock for themselves and cut it in pieces and lay it on wood and put no fire under. And I will dress the other bullock and lay it on wood and put no fire under. And call ye on the name of your gods. And I will call upon the name of the Lord. And the Lord that answereth by fire, let him be God. And all the people answered and said, well spoken. And Elijah said unto the prophets of Baal, choose you a bullock for yourselves. Dress it first. You go first. Go ahead. For you're many. I don't want to keep all these people waiting. All right. And while I dress it out and build the altar and all of that, you go ahead. And call on the name of your gods and put no fire under. And they took the bullock which was given them and they dressed it and called on the name of Baal from morning even until noon, saying, O Baal, hear us. So probably, as I've studied this, about 6 hours they called upon Baal. But there was no voice, nor any that answered. And they leaped upon the altar which was made. And it came to pass at noon that Elijah mocked him and said, cry aloud, for he's a god. He's either talking or he's pursuing or he's in a journey or peradventure he sleepeth and must be awakened. And they cried aloud and cut themselves after their manner with knives and lancets till the blood gushed out upon them. That has really been the manner of creature worship and devil worship for centuries, still to this day. Talking with Brother Bracken not all that long ago, just sitting around a table, he was talking about the things that took place there in Taiwan and in mainland China, and how their shaman priests, which were really what they are is their witch doctors, they would come and they would do things like this. And he described how God showed one of these men up, and it was quite a story. Amen. But as a matter of fact, a very similar story, if you will, to what we're reading here. And but they could not get their God to answer. It came to pass when midday was past, and they prophesied until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, there was neither voice nor any answer nor any that regarded. And you know what? That's the way it is when you call upon the gods of this world. You call upon fame. You call upon money. You call upon things that we tend to rely upon. Now, I'm here to tell us that anything that stands between us and God is an idol. I remember when I was in Hawaii, my wife and I remember, I remember when I went there on business and seeing these meal offerings laid out around the edge of a volcano, right at the edge of the crater. And they were there to the goddess Pele. And while we were there watching lava flow one day on the Big Island, we saw these four young people that began to, might have been more, I don't know, they began to sing a song to Pele, the goddess. And there's that kind of idolatry, but there's the kind of idolatry we were driving by our near our house the other day, Paul and I, and I looked over, and there was a guy that was just doing what I used to do. He was just taking every last bit of anything off of his car, any little bit of dust. He was just making it look perfect. And Paul said, I said, well, look at that, or something like that. He said, what, you mean that act of worship? And I said, yeah, that's exactly what I'm talking about. Praise God. Amen. And we get to worship in all kinds of things. We get things put, you know what, some of us just being lazy and not going to church has become an idol. Amen. And it takes the place. There's other things that will come and get between you and God and become an idol. And that makes you an idolater is what it does. And we get these other things. And he was saying, well, hey, you know what? You say that you are servants of Jehovah, but then you go and do all of this other stuff. And it doesn't really make a whole lot of sense. Why don't you choose who you're going to serve? And so when you call upon the things that you just try to make it work, praise God, it doesn't work. I'm going to get another microphone or something like that. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. It just doesn't work. It doesn't work. But I'm here to tell you something, that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And when you call upon Him, it'll work. I've said it'll work. Praise God. Amen. It will work. Amen. He'll come down. Yes, He will. He'll draw you out. Yes, He will. Praise God. Amen. God, hallelujah, loves to do things. Bible says that His Spirit goes to and fro in the earth looking, amen, for somebody that He can show Himself strong on their behalf. Amen. Hallelujah. Who's going to give God a chance? Who's going to give God a chance? And so there was no answer. Amen. And Elijah said to the people, hey, come near to me. The people came near, and he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down, and better get some things laid in order. Amen. You better get an altar that's built. Praise God. Amen. And hallelujah. And so he's doing all of that. He's laying everything in order, just the way that it's done. There was some preparation that went in to this. And so he had a trench dug. They didn't do that, but he did it. He said, I don't want there to be any doubts. Amen. Praise God. And so he took the wood and put it there, and he cut the bullock, put it in pieces, and laid him on the wood, and said, fill 4 barrels with water and pour it on the... I like his faith. Pour it on the burnt sacrifice. I mean, theirs was drawing flies, my friends. Amen. Their sacrifice was still a bloody mess. Their blood and the sacrifice's blood was all over the place. It was a wet, sodden mass. Amen. Sticky and smelly and all this. And he said, all right, what I want you to do is I want you to pour it on the burnt sacrifice. This one's going to be a burnt sacrifice. Amen. And on the wood. And he said, all right, so they did that, 4 barrels of water. He said, do it the second time, and they did it the second time. He said, do it the third time, and they did it the third time. And the water ran about the altar, and he filled the trench also with water. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, now notice, they cut themselves with lancets and stones. They went for hours. They went 6 hours, and then they went beyond 6 hours. But he got his all set up. Amen. He got the water poured out. Amen. He had the trench that was dug and filled with water. And he said, at the time of the evening sacrifice, he said, I'm going to wait until it's the right time. Because there was a time of evening sacrifice. There was a time that was established. This is when we offer unto God. We don't just do it any old time, but we're going to do it God's way. And so he waited until that time. And then he said, all right. He began to pray. He said, the Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. O Lord, hear me. And you know what? His prayer, I believe, was the right kind of prayer, because he really wanted to see people turn to God and serve him, because this is the only thing that will really save. You can't just, there's people that preach all kinds of things. Paul said, hey, if I come back preaching something different, don't receive me. If an angel comes preaching another gospel. Some other man comes preaching another gospel. Don't you receive him. Let him be accursed unto you. This is the only thing that works. This is the only thing that counts. Amen. And so he wanted to see them follow the truth. Amen. And not just go another way. He said, "Hear, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord thy God, and thou hast turned their heart back again." They've been going this way. They've been vacillating. They've been trying to serve the gods of this world and to serve you at the same time. And God, help them to understand that that's not how it works. And that you're doing this to turn their heart back again. And when he got done saying those words, then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up all the water that was in the trench. Remember, let the Lord have his term. Praise God. You know, that prophet could have done it any other kind of way, but this is the way that the Lord said do. This is he said, "I've done all these things at thy word." Amen. We need to let the Lord have a turn. Praise God. Amen. In Mark chapter number 5, we're told a story of a woman who had, the Bible says, an issue of blood for 12 years. Bible says that she suffered many things of many physicians and had spent all that she had and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. That's a direct quote from the King James Bible. She suffered many things from many physicians. Spent all she had, was nothing better, but rather grew worse. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank God she allowed Jesus, amen, to have a turn. After 12 years of suffering at the hand of physicians, that was not even at all, even remotely like modern medicine, where they actually know a little bit of something. Amen. Took all her money, but couldn't heal her. So not only was she sick, she was destitute on top of that now. After 12 years of suffering treatments that were worse than the condition in many cases, she gave Jesus a turn. Amen. Hallelujah. And I just feel this in the Holy Ghost. I felt this message for this service. This is not just something pulled out of a hat, but I believe that there's somebody that's been battling, and I don't know who it is, but somebody's been battling some things. You've been battling trials, and I know we all have those, but some have been battling sin. Some have been battling personalities. Some have been battling principalities. Some have been battling discouragement. Some have been battling loneliness. Some have been battling a life without meaning. Amen. I'm here to tell you, to admonish you, to ask you, to implore you. Let the Lord have a turn. Amen. Give Jesus Christ a chance. Give him your heart. Amen. And cry unto him and see if he won't bow the heavens for you. Hallelujah. When the Lord brought the people of Israel out of cruel bondage that was in Egypt, he brought them to a place with a sea in front of them and mountains on the sides of them and an angry pursuing army behind them. And it seemed like they were hemmed in by their trouble. You see, God, I started following you, and all this stuff happened. Let me tell you something. I never even knew there was a devil until I started trying to serve God. Amen. Really didn't. I remember when we moved into our home in Fairfield. I can't remember what year it is. 1991 maybe. And we noticed a few spiders. I went and got this stuff from a pesticide guy called Demon WP. And I think it was to wipe out the little demon spiders. Amen. And I sprayed that stuff. And they came out of the woodwork. I mean, they were everywhere. Because I started battling them. And when I started battling them, they came out. Didn't they? I mean, there would be, all of a sudden you see this big old nasty spider in the middle of the living room carpet. We never saw anything like that before. Where'd that come from? There's another one over there. There's another one over there. And he looked mad. You know? That's the way the devil was. You know, he had me all boxed in. I thought that I was doing okay. I could, you know, me and God, I tried to explain we have a little deal going on. Everything's fine with God, you know. And I didn't have any deal. I fabricated all that in my mind. Wasn't based on the word at all. And so I was thinking wrong. I was all messed up in my thinking. And devil liked me there, and he didn't try to battle me at all. I started trying to serve God. I said, you know what? I'm going to pay my tithes. Amen. And I had a business partner, and I wanted to pay tithes on the business. He got upset. He was upset. And it's like, no. And so he wanted to split the business. He ended up ripping me off. I mean, when I say he ripped me off, I'm talking two cars. I'm talking thousands of dollars. That he just stole. Amen. He's my friend to this day. Praise God. Distant friend. Trying to win him to God. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. I wouldn't give him a whole lot of time a day. Certainly wouldn't let him hold a $100 bill. Praise God. Amen. But hallelujah. Hey, just watch this for me, would you? No, sir. No, sir. You know, I've been around the block a couple times. I'm not that stupid anymore. Praise God. But, you know, it seemed like I started trying to serve God and make decisions. I was going to live for God. I wanted to go to church all the time. Okay, see if you could do it without a car. And so it was 2 miles to get to church in South Carolina. And I would put on my light blue, powder blue pinstripe suit, 3-piece suit, and my shoes, and I'd get my Thompson Chain Reference Bible, and I'd walk to church on a 98-degree day, 100% humidity. Amen. Get there, I was just completely drenched. And we would go, and we would have service, and somebody would give me a ride back. Most of the time. Amen. But I went. Amen. I went. You know what? The devil might try to throw a stumbling block. But, you know, I've sold out to him. Amen. He means everything to me. You see, he washed my sins away. Praise God. That doesn't mean he's left me alone. That means he becomes more subtle. But you know what? We're not ignorant of his devices. And he's not going to trip me up. And I'm going to put on the whole armor of God, that I may quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. I'm going to stand in the evil day. Praise God. Because I've done all that I can to stand. And then I let the Lord come in and fight for me. Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Because Jesus, I made sure I give Jesus a turn. And so these Israelites were there at the Red Sea, and they did not know what to do. And they were stupid. They really were. They said, Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, you brought us out here to die in the wilderness. Why did you deal this way with us to carry us out of Egypt? We would have been better off there. Let me tell you, when the devil starts attacking you and coming against you because you start standing. I remember my dad. I'm just trying to help somebody. I really am. And I'm trying to hurry. But I remember my dad. My dad began to talk about the Bible. He began to see some things in the people of the church. And I remember when I first came into church, I would talk about God so much. My dad, he told me, if you ever mention the word God again in my house, you can't come back. He was really upset. And after a while, he began to be hungry. And he ended up going someplace on a business trip down in Florida. Went to an altar, repented of his sins. He said, you know what, I'm going to start reading the Bible. He went out and got himself a Bible, began to read the Bible. And And he was praying every day, and so I would encourage him, and we would witness to him regarding the truth, baptism in the name of Jesus Christ, real repentance, and just saying all of those things. I wanted to see my dad filled with the Holy Ghost, and it was exciting to me to see some of those things happen. And so we would call. I'd call him every once in a while. I would call him, try to call him fairly often. And I remember asking him one time. I didn't want to bring it up every time, but I brought it up this time. I said, "Dad, so how is your Bible reading and praying going?" And he said, "Oh, I stopped that." And when he said that the way he said it startled me. It's like, "Oh, I stopped that. Like, I'm not doing that again." And I said, "Dad, why'd you stop that?" He said, "Well, every time I would go to read the Bible, or every time I would get down to pray, these evil thoughts would pop into my mind." And he said, "They were wicked thoughts, thoughts that I never thought of before. And until I, you know, would go to read the Bible, or, you know, they were horrible thoughts. They would pop into my mind." And so I just stopped reading. And I stopped praying. I said, "Dad, did you ever think that maybe that there's an enemy to your soul that doesn't want you to read the Bible and doesn't want you to pray and throws those thoughts in your mind?" He said, "Oh, I never thought about that." I said, "You need to shake that off, and you need to pray, and you need to read your Bible." He took it back up again until the time that he understood that was a trick of the devil. It wasn't going to work on him anymore. Amen. I'm here to tell you, the devil, he'll come against you. He'll fight you. Amen. He'll throw false thoughts into your mind and make you think that nobody loves me. Everybody hates me. I think I'll go eat worms. Amen. And no. I'm here to tell you that God, he brought you to this place that he might show himself mighty on your behalf. Amen. Hallelujah. And the greatest miracle of all of the Old Testament was the miracle they were about to witness. They thought that God had brought them out. Why did we ever listen to that man of God? Why did we ever listen to him? He brought us out here. It would have been better if we were back in Egypt. Moses said unto the people, he said, "Fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. And the Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace." Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. He was saying, you know, he brought it. It looks bleak right now, but God is getting ready to show himself mighty on your behalf. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I wish somebody would just take what I'm saying to heart today. I wish somebody would get it deep down on the inside. You don't need to live the way you've been living. You don't need to go on the way you've been going. You can shake it off and believe God and trust God. Oh, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. When a teenage boy named David came before the giant Goliath, amen, he knew the battle would not be won by his ability. He went out with the confidence that the Lord would fight for him. Would you stand in the house of the Lord with me today? Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. He said these words before the Lord guided his small, smooth stone into the one place where the enemy had no armor. He said, "Thou comest to me with a sword and a spear and with a shield." David was very kind because he didn't even mention, and you had to have another man carry your shield for you. You big sissy. You go read the book. Amen. There was another man went before Goliath with the shield. So it was two against one. Or so it seemed. But they that be with us are more than they that be with us. If God be for us, who can be against us? Amen. Hallelujah. Through him, one can put 1,000 to flight, two will put 10,000. He said, you come to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name. In the name. In the name. Somebody say his name. Somebody say his name. Somebody say his name. Somebody shout his name. I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee. It won't be me. It won't be my sling. It won't be my stone. This day the Lord will deliver thee into my hand, and I'll smite thee, take thy head from thee. And I will give the carcasses of the hosts of the Philistines the state of the fowls of the air and the wild beasts of the earth. Very similar words to what Elijah spoke, that all the earth may know that there's a God in Israel. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with a sword and a spear, but the battle is the Lord's. And I will give, and he will give you into our hands. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I don't know, every head bowed, every eye closed in the house of the Lord today. I don't know what you've been trying to handle on your own. Figure out on your own. Just push through, shove through any way you could figure. Time to let the Lord have his turn. Some folks have been struggling with sin, particular sins, sin in general. You can give all that to Jesus in just a few moments here at an altar. Some have been struggling with loneliness, some have been struggling with discouragement, trying to calculate it, figure it. How am I going to do it? How am I going to do it, God? How am I going to do it, God? You're not going to do it. Let him do it. Look for it. I'd like to invite you to come. Let the Lord have to turn. Amen. I don't want to make some big long plea. You know God's talked to you. Come on. Come down to the soul. Amen. Hallelujah. Let the Lord have a turn. Come on. Find a place to be.